Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Tony Nixon and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in silent mode and can ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery. If there's any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Governments Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate you when you have 1 minute or some more. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament, and members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item 1 is the minutes of the 11th of March. Can we have seconded all in favour? Those agreed. Have we any apologies?
Councillor Phillips substituted by Councillor Cooper.
Okay, thank you. Any declaration of members' interests or lobbying? Yes, Scott.
The same one with being employee of 7/12, but I have no bearing on their decisions.
Okay, thank you. Delegated applications, details of these will be circulated separately to members. There's one thing I need to point out. I can confirm the enforcements matter listed on the agenda is no longer being considered by the committee due to the delegation of this power to officers that's now in place. We now move on to planning applications. I'll refer that this is 22/36499/FUL. I'll pass over to Richard to present this.
That's fine, thanks. So, apologies for the short notice, but I'm going to suggest that committee defer this item without debate we became aware at 4 o'clock today that the extent of highway land, so the vice chair queried whether this footpath was actually adopted or not. So in doing that, what's transpired is that the extent of highway land actually goes beyond the back of footpath here, further into the site, which has the potential to affect the siting of two of the proposed houses. So that would require, if in order to implement the development, if it was to be approved, that would require termination of highway rights. So committee have two options. Procedurally, the applicant has served notice on the highway authority, so you could determine the application tonight, but what I'm suggesting is that we defer it, because that will create further problems potentially down the line in whether any approval could actually be constructed, or if members were declined to dismiss, to refuse the application, that would create further problems at appeal as well. So what I'm suggesting is it's deferred without debate, so we wouldn't be tied in to a future committee to only the members here tonight being able to sit. And also, given that it's going to be a change of committee in May, so that's my suggestion.
Deferment, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we've got a proposal and a second. Are all those in favour of deferring it? I think that's unanimous. Okay, thank you for that.
Apologies to members of the public who turned up here tonight.
Yeah, if anybody's turned up for this issue item, they're quite welcome to leave now if they wish to. Moving on then. Application 25/41444/AMX. I think Emily, you're going to present that.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
So, this application.
Yes, I'm as ward member, I'm going to speak, so I shan't take part in any debate or voting.
Can you go and sit at that, please? This application relates to a detached dwelling which is accessed via a shared driveway which joins Emery Drive to the south. The site's located within the Great Heywood settlement boundary within a modern housing development which is to the south of the village. This application seeks permission for a single storey rear extension to the main dwelling and the conversion of the existing double garage into a one bedroom annex. And that conversion involves alterations including a single storey rear extension and the raising of the garage roof height by 1.1 metres and the addition of two dormer windows to the front and two dormer windows to the rear of the garage. So the extent of the site is outlined in red on the location plan. The site itself forms part of the setting of the Great Heywood and Shugborough Conservation Area, which falls to the north and west of the site, with the Shugborough Estate and the Cannock Chase National Landscape on the opposite side of Main Road to the west of the site. Before I run through the presentation, in terms of procedural matters, since the agenda was printed, five additional neighbour representations have been received. However, no new material planning considerations were raised within these responses. This is an aerial view of the site, which is again outlined in red. Moving on to photos of the site. Image 1 shows the front elevation of the dwelling and its detached double garage. Image 2 shows the view from the rear garden looking southwest towards the garage and number 5 Emery Drive beyond. Image 3, the rear of the property. Image 4, looking northeast towards number 4 Bruton Gardens. And image 5 shows the existing parking area to the front of the property. So the first plan is the location plan and site plan, which show the proposed development in context. And then we've got the proposed ground floor layout of the main dwelling showing the extension. Proposed elevations for the main dwelling. Proposed elevations of floor layout of the garage. And then an elevation drawing which shows the garage in context with the dwelling. So, moving on to the main considerations. The proposal is located within a settlement boundary where the principle of development is accepted. The proposed annex will be occupied solely in connection with the main house, and a condition would be attached to any approval which would prevent it from being sold, let or occupied as a separate dwelling. In terms of design and the impact upon the adjacent conservation area, nearby non-designated heritage assets and the designated national landscape, notwithstanding comments received from the conservation team, it's not considered that the proposal will result in unacceptable visual harm to the significance of any heritage asset, nor have implications for the wider landscape. In reaching this view, officers have given consideration to the partial screening provided by the hedge to the southwest and the fact that the garage is set back from the front elevation of the dwelling and views of the garage are limited due to its positioning in between numbers 5 and 6 Emery Drive. The impact of the proposal upon amenity has been fully assessed and there will not be an unacceptable impact upon any neighbouring property in terms of overshadowing, overlooking or outlook. Members will note the conditions have been recommended within the officer's report, which include preventing the addition of any further windows into the side elevation of the annex and requiring that the first floor rear-facing dormers to the annex are obscure glazed. It's also noted that the proposed extension to the rear of the garage has been reduced in depth since the original submission, and that has a reduced impact upon the neighbouring property in terms of light. So whilst the proposed annex would increase the combined amount of bedrooms on site to 6, the increase from 5 to 6 bedrooms does not require any additional parking spaces in accordance with the parking standards which are set out within the plan for Stafford Borough. And the plans demonstrate that the required 3 parking spaces can be provided within the red edge of the application site. So it's therefore recommended that permission be granted subject to the conditions listed in the report.
Thank you. We have some speakers. You'll have 3 minutes to speak and I'll give you indicate when you've got your minute to sum up. Our first speaker is Mr. Daniel Allgood. Sit down and I'll indicate when you've got a minute.
Okay. Firstly, thank you for your time this evening. It's much appreciated. My main concern is that the officer's recommendation is based on incorrect assumptions and incomplete information, which materially affect the conclusions reached. The officer's report assumes that there's adequate space for turning manoeuvring, but relies on the applicant using land that is not within their ownership. The applicant only benefits from a right of pass and repass over private land, which does not allow for turning or parking. The access is also a single track road. The manoeuvring shown is therefore not achievable in practice, and the assessment is fundamentally flawed. The application itself is inaccurate in terms of land ownership. It assumes control over land that is not within the applicant's ownership, including the boundary between the properties. Despite this, Certificate A has been signed confirming full ownership. This further reinforces that the application is being assessed on incomplete and inaccurate information, calls into question the reliability and soundness of the assessment on which this recommendation is based. The proposal is not lawfully deliverable as submitted. The site includes a protected strip which is subject to legal restrictions preventing developmental structures, yet there is no evidence these constraints can be complied with. As such, the development has not been properly tested and cannot be relied upon as a realistic or deliverable proposal. The site includes a foul and a surface water sewer serving multiple properties, yet no consultation has taken place with the relevant statutory undertaker. Once again, this demonstrates a flaw in the officer's report. Under residential amenity, the officer's report contains a number of inaccuracies. It refers to a separation distance of 1.3 metres, but in reality is less than 1 metre from our house. That's significant as it understates the true relationship between the buildings. The report also states secondary window and that light is already extremely limited. That is factually incorrect. This window serves our main living space and provides a key source of natural light. By misidentifying it, the report significantly understates the level of harm. The assessment only considers horizontal distance and fails to assess the vertical loss of light entirely. In reality, a two-storey development would reduce that remaining height.
You have 1 minute left.
Thank you. Significantly, this impact has not been properly assessed. In addition, the proposal results in overdevelopment along the boundary. When taken together with the existing garage and garden building, more than 75% of the boundary will be occupied by built form, all exceeding approximately 3 metres in height. This creates a continuous and dominant built edge, eroding the openness expected between the detached properties and creating a strong sense of enclosure. There is a consistent pattern throughout the report where assumptions are relied upon in favour of the proposal, whilst key constraints, factual inaccuracies and impact on neighbouring amenity have not been properly tested or have been understated. This raises serious concerns about the overall reliability of the assessment. Thank you for your time. I respectfully ask the committee to refuse application.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Laura Fielding. Once again, you've got 3 minutes and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute to speak.
Thank you very much.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay, so thank you, Chair and committee members. I am the applicant of the proposal. Just want to regroup that this is just a modest policy compliant proposal within my own residential boundary, comprising of a single storey rear extension and the conversion of the existing garage. It has been fully assessed by your planning officer, who, having considered all objections, has recommended approval. The key point to this is that it does not conflict with planning policy in terms of scale, design or impact. The development is set within a private plot at the end of a shared drive with no material impact to the wider street scene. It remains subservient to the main dwelling and preserves the character of the area, including the nearby conservation setting. In terms of amenity, there is no unacceptable overlooking, no material loss of light, and no overbearing impact. These matters have been fully tested and confirmed in the officer's report. For clarity, the proposal does not alter the main roof house, the main house roof, addressing a number of inaccuracies raised in objections. The scheme is also clearly ancillary in nature, enabling independent living for a family member. It's not a separate dwelling. Parking and manoeuvring have been assessed as acceptable with sufficient space within the site. Several concerns raised relate to private legal matters, including access and drainage, or misunderstanding of the proposal, and as confirmed by the officer's report, these are not material planning considerations and should not influence decisions. The proposal has been carefully developed over several months, responding to feedback to ensure it's policy compliant and appropriate in its setting. It's also worth noting that a large portion of the works could be carried out under permitted development, which further demonstrates the limited scale and impact of the proposal.
You have 1 minute left.
Thank you. So if we bring this back to planning fundamentals, the scheme is proportionate, it's policy compliant, it has been professionally assessed and recommended for approval, and there is no planning harm identified that would justify refusal. I therefore respectfully ask the committee to follow the officer's recommendation and approve the application.
Thank you. Andy, I think you want to speak. You've got 5 minutes, and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute after something.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee. As ward member, I've been asked to call this application in on behalf of the owners of number five because of some of the issues that have been raised. And I'd like to group those under several headings. First one being effectively legal. Legal documentation contained within the land registry dated 2016 for the whole estate. This document clearly states that no building is permitted on the designated protective strips. Approval of the current proposal would therefore represent a breach of that legal covenant. I note that the Borough Council report says this is not a material consideration, but I'm given to understand it is part of the National Planning Policy Framework that such things should be taken into account. Also, it sets a precedent for the rest of the estate if this were permitted. And makes a bit of a nonsense of it. The second one I want to look at is foundation design. There are two major pipelines, foul and rain, running under the properties, number five and six. My understanding is that there can be no structure over these lines that would result in pressure and potential collapse. The solution for this, I'm not a ground engineer or anything like that, but I'm given to understand the solution for this is a rough foundation supported by underground pillars positioned either side of the pipework, and no cantilever arrangement will be allowed. To achieve this, and the sort of development we're looking at here, it's quite arguable that this would need substantial excavation of number five's garden to be able to achieve this. Number five, for example, the house at number five has emailed permission from Severn Trent Water to build their patio over the pipe that runs through their garden, but were advised not to use any vibratory equipment such as a whacker. So that indicates their concern over damage to the pipework. There's no mention in the report of foundations changing or increase of weight of build or anything like that, which is, I guess, going to occur given the size of the change. I note there's already a substantial slated gazebo construction in the garden of number five. I'm not aware of the planning status of that construction, whether it's needed or not, or whether it's applied for or not, or question whether, with that being there, it constitutes overdevelopment of the site. The simple parking is my next heading. This is a contentious issue across Stafford Borough. If I had a £5 note for every time somebody contacted me and complained about parking outside their house, I'd be quite wealthy. The simple rule for parking allocation to a house is that the number of bedrooms minus one. So for example, a detached or semi-detached house with less than three bedrooms would have two within the curtilage of the property. Something that's equal to four bed or over would have three. Up there it stops. currently the property number 6 has 5 bedrooms, as this will not be a standalone property, arguably in the application, it will take the total to 6 bedrooms, with the loss of at least one garage space. With bedrooms increased to 6, parking allocation reduced to 3 spaces from 5, there is already parking pressure. The application states that the development won't affect existing parking arrangements, well, I suggest it clearly will. This may be a rule, but we've got to ask ourselves, is it realistic? Arguably that 6 bedrooms could ultimately lead to 6 vehicles as a minimum, plus guests of course, depending on the house occupancy. Very often houses start with 2 adult parents and 2 children. The 2 children grow up, there's 2 more cars and so on. Things change. The report in section 8 mentions a turnaround outside number 4 and 5.
You've got 1 minute
five.
Left, Andy.
Sorry?
1 minute left.
Thank you. This is part of their own land. Carwich Parish Council have been approached to sell boundary land to number 6, presumably to assist with parking, although that's not stated as such, and has been refused, the inference being that the applicants could see the problem coming. In terms of construction, number 5 believe that their property will need to be used for scaffolding support, as the proposed wall is so close to their property, and this is not reasonable. In conclusion, there are some serious outstanding issues over this development, as I've previously stated, and if the committee still deemed to approve, I would suggest that a delay is used to allow more thorough investigation of the issues raised in this objection. Additionally, any approval should contain constraints regarding usage, etc., as discussed in the above report, recognising these constraints. And what is effectively a one bedroom plot? Self contained. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
No, I've started to debate that. Yeah.
Okay, then would anyone like to? Yes, Andy.
Just like clarification on the ownership of the land. Am I right in saying then that that's not a consideration of this committee, whether there's that strip there or covenants or such like?
It's separate to the determination of the planning application. Right?
Yeah, so that would be a legal matter between.
Third party matter, private matter in terms of restrictive covenants. I'm not aware of any reference in the MPPF to restrictive covenants. In my experience, restrictive covenants are not until consideration.
Scott, you.
Referring to what the ward member said there about the National Planning Policy Framework and building over assets that have been requested there, not all towards that effect. Is that correct? Is that a material consideration?
In terms of, for instance, the Severn Trent pipe work, that will be a separate matter under building control and with agreement of Severn Trent, probably requiring a building over agreement. Now, if that can't be achieved, then irrespective of planning permission being granted, they couldn't actually build the scheme out.
Yes.
I was going to ask a similar question. I mean, the drainage, is it going under the garage now, or is it just near it that it's going to be affected by an extension, or whereabouts does it lie? Because they do.
I've had sight of the plan, and I think it runs through the garden, so it runs underneath the garage as existing.
Scott, do you want to come
sorry,
back?
Sorry, yeah, I have another. Again, regarding what the ward member discussed about parking in this 4 bedrooms, there's a 3 parking bay sort of requirement. I'm just thinking looking at this application, is the sort of the little bay where the one single car is that meant to be a parking bay, or is that meant to be a turning circle arrangement?
That was disputed in one of the neighbour objections, I think, and the officers assessed it as it falls within the applicant's land ownership. There's nothing to suggest that it was a turning head, and the other properties would be able to access their own parking spaces without utilising that area.
So I suppose the potential, is the number 6 could theoretically extend that turning head further back if required. To enable
within their ownership.
Yeah.
Okay. So the in terms of ensuring that ownership details are correct, the onus rests with the applicant. There's a provision within the Town and Country Planning Act,
yeah,
which covers that.
Yeah, can I ask which is this bit of land that is disputed that the council, the village council wouldn't sell to the parish council wouldn't sell? Can you show me where it is on
yeah,
the?
I believe that that relates to a strip of land outside of the application site boundary. So my cursor's not showing up on there.
There you go. So is it
it's
where the end of the road, the private road ends, is it that bit beyond it?
Yeah, it looks as though there's a strip of land which is outside of this application site boundary, and I don't know who owns that, but it's been indicated that's owned by the parish council, but it's outside of this
application
site. Yeah.
So obviously
yeah.
A landscape strip.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, if I could just clarify, it's owned by Coleridge Parish Council, that's right.
Okay.
And it's, as you say, it's between the boundary and the Edgerow Road.
Scott,
I have one final question potentially regarding the lower windows. It's mentioned in the report that it was unknown what these windows are, and then it says that they were secondary. It's a secondary window?
I believe it was relating to the first floor windows that it said it didn't know what they related to, but the ground floor windows at number 5 related to the kitchen diner.
Right. So that's described as a secondary, not as a principal.
Yeah,
well,
that's
a
photograph.
There is a photograph of number 5.
I think there was one, wasn't there?
That's not number 5.
Okay. That's the other side.
Yeah, so if we're looking at the cursor's not working.
You can't see it on the white background.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the windows in question are in this elevation of number 5. So there's a side. There's either one or two side windows here, and then rear-facing windows here, but also a window here, which all serve that room. So there's additional unaffected sources of light.
Right. So say the room has got two unaffected windows.
Yes.
Yes.
Conservation Office mentions an increase, concerns about the increase in roof heights. What is the difference?
So there's no increase in roof height to the dwelling, and the garage is increasing by 1.1 metre.
No one else? Yes, Andy?
I propose we pass the application, because most of the objections are outside the remit of this committee, and it would be up to the parties involved to resolve that.
I'll second that, Chair.
If there's no further comments, can we take a vote on that? All those in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Against? 3. Well, that's carried then. The application's approved. Okay, then, moving on to item 6, which is planning appeal. Does anyone have any comments on those?
There are rather a lot more than normal.
I noticed there's only one where the appeal was allowed, and that was for signage on Beacon.
No, I'm looking at the number of new
the number of new
notified appeals.
Councillor Cross, we have actually received decisions on Little Dean Barn and Gramslow News, so they are quite old.
Yeah, it just seemed to
rather
a lot more than normal things.
Yeah, see, we've got one withdrawn, two dismissed, and one appeal allowed. No further comments on any of those? Well, in that case, that brings the meeting to a close. Thank you all very much.